The latest detailed job numbers, considered the gold standard, showed Wisconsin ranked 40th in the nation in private sector job growth from September of 2013 to September of 2014. Yet the monthly unemployment numbers show Wisconsin's unemployment rate declined to 4.8% in February. We're going to take a look at Wisconsin's economy this hour in terms of job creation, unemployment, wages, other economic indicators. How is Wisconsin's economy really doing? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, March 20th. We are happy to have with us Kevin Quinn, an economics professor and dean of the Schneider School of Business and Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I hope you can help me understand what's going on here. The Bureau of Labor Statistics released its quarterly census on Thursday. It looks like Wisconsin added 27,491 private sector jobs between September of 2013 and September of 2014. That's a 1.16% increase, I guess. So is that good news or bad news?
Well, of course, whenever the number of people employed is going up, that's definitely a positive thing. You know, the labor market is the most immediate way in which families, households, individuals feel the economy. So it's, you know, do I have a job? How much is this job paying? You know, what is the quality of the job, et cetera? And so the unemployment rate, various measures of it, is something that is watched very closely because in many ways it's most closely tied to how we feel.
Yeah. But compared to the entire country, that ranking, that ranks Wisconsin 40th for job growth, while the rest of the country on average created jobs at a rate of 2.3%. So why would we be lagging the rest of the country, at least during this time period, September 2013 to September 2014?
Well, as an economist, watching the public discourse over how the Wisconsin economy is going over the last several years has been kind of like watching a fifth-grade slap fight. The state is so hyper-partisan. There seems to be about half of the folks who are, at this time, you know, big Walker supporters, and about half of them that just despise him. And the interesting thing about these numbers has been that you can look inside, you know, and cherry pick any set of numbers you like to try to support the case that, you know, under Walker the state has done very well or it's done very poorly. So to kind of summarize how this looks is that if all you do is look at how the Wisconsin economy has performed, so by itself without reference to, you know, how the national economy has performed, you know, we've clearly had a recovery since you know, the depth of the recession, which started in 2008, and when Walker took office in 2011, early 2011, we were already starting to recover, and we've continued to recover. And that's good news. And I think most Wisconsinites would be able to say that things are better now in the state than they were, you know, a few years ago. However, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, whereas the Walker supporters like to point to the fact that the last few years of the Doyle administration was truly horrible for jobs in Wisconsin, which is true, the bigger story was the fact that this was in the context of the greatest national downturn that we had seen in, you know, 7 or 8 decades. And to really get it, you have to understand that the U.S. economy has improved dramatically since 2009, 2010. If you, you know, cherry pick different types of news sources, you might believe it's been unbelievably awesome, or you might believe that it's been terrible. But the raw numbers say that we have definitely recovered. Things are much better nationally than they were before. The problem is, as the Walker detractors would point out, is that the Wisconsin economy has recovered more slowly the national economy. And if you look at the broad spectrum of data that are available, that's quite clear. However, you also have to understand that, generally speaking, the Wisconsin economy did not see the run-up in housing prices and other kinds of things during the 2000s that maybe you saw elsewhere. So things didn't get quite as bad here in Wisconsin as they did nationally. So it's not surprising that we see a recovery that's a little bit slower because we had, you know, less to recover from. So to me, the bottom line is this, that it's hard to sustain a claim that the Wisconsin economy has done so much better than the U.S. economy, you know, the implication of that typically being because of these wonderful policies that the current administration has, that you really can't sustain that. It's been sort of a beige recovery, relatively speaking. On the other hand, to say that the slowness of the recovery here, relatively speaking, is due to those policies is a bit of a stretch, too. So for me, the bottom line is that it's really difficult to sustain a claim that the policies that we've seen have had that much of an effect on how quickly or slowly we've recovered. That's the big picture of it.
I understand what you're saying. Then what do we attribute to Wisconsin in this latest jobs report ranking 9th out of 10 Midwestern states? I guess previously we were tied for 9th with Nebraska, which is now 10th. So we're near the bottom 9th out of 10 Midwestern states. What does that do to?
Well, the Midwestern state that's sort of the golden child is North Dakota. And that's primarily because of energy, although it's going to be interesting as we start to see the effect of lower energy prices kind of come through the data. Remember, we're talking about data, this gold standard quarterly report lags. So we're looking at typically fall data. Some of the more recent data, like the state data, are through, I believe, January. So we'll see that. But, you know, unless we discover oil here in Wisconsin, we really need to not compare ourselves to North Dakota. It's not a fair comparison. But let's think about Illinois and Indiana and Michigan and even Ohio, even though I think they're not necessarily included in the mix. The big story there was automobile manufacturing. And, I mean, we did not have anything like the tumble that those states had in terms of their employment because our manufacturing is far more diverse than they are there. So it wouldn't be surprising now that we're seeing a return to people buying cars. I mean, you've seen probably the information that car sales have been very healthy the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's not surprising that those states are recovering a little more quickly. And then everyone's favorite state to compare us to, which is Minnesota, we have to compare the way that our state is economically structured to theirs. What do they have? They have a lot more health, education, professional services jobs than we have here in Wisconsin. Well, guess what? Health, education, professional services have grown much faster nationally, the number of jobs there, than they have in manufacturing. Wisconsin is a very heavily manufacturing-intensive state, and not just dependent on one or two industries, but many industries. So it's not surprising that you would not necessarily see tremendously robust growth compared to these other states that are elsewhere in the Midwest.
Just a couple of minutes before a news break, and then already callers lining up. But Governor Walker on Facebook posted total private jobs exceeded pre-recession high by 11,000. He writes also 13,600 private jobs created in February, best monthly gain in more than a decade. So now he's looking at the monthly numbers, not this big year-long time period.
Right, and that may or may not be the case. The monthly numbers tend to be fairly volatile, and they're based on smaller surveys, and so they tend to get revised a lot. Now, I'm not saying that it's necessarily true that the February numbers are going to be revised massively downward. I mean, we don't know. The irony of it is that I remember a few years ago when the numbers looked different, that is, the monthly survey numbers were looking bad, and the quarterly gold standard numbers were looking good. the partisanship was switched, that folks were pointing to the quarterly numbers who are now pointing to the monthly numbers and vice versa. So we just simply don't know yet. It's the best guess that we have, and it's more than a guess, but we simply just don't know what that looks like.
We are talking with Kevin Quinn, an economics professor, dean of the Schneider School of Business and Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. And we are welcoming your questions about Wisconsin's economy. How do you think it's doing? What's your reaction to these job reports? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. Wisconsin's private sector job growth is half the national average, ranking 40th in the most recent 12-month reporting period. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported yesterday that private sector jobs grew 1.16% in Wisconsin for the 12-month period from September of 2013 through September of 2014. The national growth rate was twice as high at 2.3%. We are talking about Wisconsin's economy based in part on the release of this jobs report, and we are asking our guest, how is Wisconsin's economy doing? And we welcome your questions and your rating of Wisconsin's economy. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kevin Quinn, an economics professor and dean of the Schneider School of Business and Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. At the same time that this gold standard jobs report for a year-long period showed Wisconsin ranking 40th in the nation in private sector job growth, the governor's office was touting monthly job numbers, and it showed the February unemployment rate declined to 4.8% in February, and the governor was touting that. So, Kevin Quinn, tell us, the unemployment rate declined to 4.8% in Wisconsin for this monthly figure. Is that good news? Oops. You have to start over because I didn't have your button pushed.
Oh, okay.
Your button is pushed now.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the standard measure of unemployment is a much talked about, much maligned standard. And there are lots and lots of flaws with it, but there is no such thing as the perfect measure. It's sort of like taking somebody's blood pressure or their temperature. There's nothing particularly magical about 98.6, but we all remember it, and so we know if somebody has a fever, there's something wrong. So to look at a decline in that measure of unemployment, that's a good thing. I mean, it can get actually a little bit too low, believe it or not, and then it can trigger wage inflation. Although in this era right now, we've seen a lot of flat pay, maybe a little bit of wage inflation is not the worst thing in the world. But yes, that's a good thing. A lower unemployment rate means more people are working, but it masks many, many things. For example, what is the nature of that employment? I mean, if you're working any kind of a job, you're considered employed. So you have to be a little bit careful, but, I mean, it's much better that it went down than it went up, so there's no question about that.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned it was 5% in January. It fell to 4.8% in February with this monthly set of the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers. A listener on Facebook asks, is it really that the unemployment rate dropped or that job hunters gave up looking for jobs?
That's an excellent question. I didn't look at that number directly, but generally speaking, if somebody drops out of the labor force because they stop looking, they're not considered part of the employed. And so if the number of jobs stays exactly the same, but yet people who are not working drop out, you'll see a drop in the unemployment rate. But we actually had an increase in the number of people who are working. So that's really maybe a better measure to sort of see what's going on. So the primary reason why it dropped, I would believe, is because there actually were, according to this most recent survey, more jobs, more people being paid.
Let's take some calls. So Dave in Madison joins us first. Hi, Dave.
Yes, I would say that after 4 years of Scott Walker's economic vision, we're seeing the results of it. His economic vision is to cut taxes to the very wealthy, to cut regulations so businesses are unregulated, and to cut services so they don't have to go into budget deficits, I suppose. And now we're seeing what happens as a result. What it does is it transfers wealth from the poor and the middle class to the wealthy. That's what it's designed to do. It's done it for 40 years. If you dispute that, I say look at the scoreboard.
And why do you dispute that, Professor Quinn?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily dispute that the philosophy that underpins the economic policies of the Walker administration are basically that they think that if you cut regulation, you cut taxes on the folks that they think are going to be more likely to create jobs, that that's going to do good things for the economy, that will unleash the beast. Now, of course, that has to be accompanied with reductions in spending in some fashion. I think only the hardest of hardcore folks would try to make the claim that if you cut taxes, that revenues will jump that much more. I think that's simply not true. And in fact, what we're seeing in the state budget situation is exactly that. I mean, to be fair to the Walker people, if you believe what the caller said, if that's the goal you want to have, you have to figure out a way to pay for those reductions in taxes. And I think the last thing I saw was that at the end of this fiscal year, the state's going to be in the hole for about $280 million. So, and the next budget, if the spending requests of the various agencies are adhered to, we're looking at something like a $2+ billion hole in the budget. So, I mean, that rather than raise taxes, the administration has chosen to go ahead and cut spending, which is why we've heard a lot of the stuff about the university budget and some other stuff.
Let's go next to Ruth in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Thank you. Yes, my question is two-part in it, and you mostly answered the second part there. But the first question is that does this number that we're looking at only count the jobs that are created and not count the jobs that are lost? And specifically lost would be like small businesses because, for example, when my dad used to own a business, when it went under, he himself was not eligible for unemployment compensation because he had been the owner of the business. And so, for example, if the vitamin store went out of business, because it doesn't have any customers anymore because they can't afford to put food on the table, so how can they put vitamins? And then, that kind of stuff. So does it only count jobs created? And then the other part is if we're getting less, if people are employed in small and less income, then don't we get less taxes, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Professor Quinn?
Yes. These measures take into account folks who are self-employed, and they measure net job changes. So in the U.S. economy in general, the Wisconsin economy in particular, they're very dynamic economies. People, get jobs and lose jobs all the time. And so there's always going to be some amount of unemployment just because of these sort of, short-term mismatches between workers and the kind of jobs that are available. That's actually a good thing because it keeps the economy from being too calcified. So when we look at the number, the jobs created number, the jobs lost number, we net that out. And self-employed people are taken into account. And the second point is that when we look at these jobs that are created, we are not necessarily looking at the quality of the jobs or the pay of the jobs. However, I would say this, that if you look at wages, take-home pay, it has gone up in Wisconsin in the last several years, by a few percentage points. I think it's maybe 2.5%, and that's taken into account inflation. That's good. The bad news is that in the U.S., it's gone up 3.5% since January of 2011.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Ruth, for the call. We'll go next to Sarah in Mequon. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I guess my comment really just mirrors what Professor Quinn just talked about. My skepticism, I guess, with the job numbers is when I think about creating jobs, I'm thinking about that in contrast to creating careers, specifically family-sustaining, well-paying jobs. I mean, I guess if I'm an employer and I could hire, 20 employees at $10 an hour each, or if I could hire, 10 employees at $20 an hour each, obviously I'm getting twice the labor for the same cost if I'm cutting. I guess my concern is just I'm skeptical about this idea of creating jobs, as Professor Quinn said, at the expense of the career side of it. I just read a study in Forbes about how Wisconsin was dead last. I think we're something like 6% down in terms of folks who are now considered middle class since the year 2000. I think that's an alarming thing. I just am worried about job creation being held above career creation.
Yes, I think that's a very, very valid point. And that I think to be fair to the governor, his point is that we need to invest in the technical colleges, not the four-year colleges. I think he has not a lot of love for what he would call four-year degrees that don't have direct marketplace benefits. I think I disagree with him on that, but he is investing heavily in those tech schools. His point being that this is a way to create middle-aged wages, that too, middle-class wages. On the other hand, I think that that's a little bit too narrow of a point of view. There are national and international global forces that are making this happen, especially since 2000. The biggest story is this, that because of technology, because of policy, because the world is becoming a smaller place, a smaller marketplace, the person who works in La Crosse, Wisconsin, is not just competing with the person from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or even the person that works in Omaha, Nebraska. They're competing globally. And to the extent that you have skills that are different, better, more valued in the marketplace than somebody else, that's become increasingly more important. So part of the reason why we're seeing the decline in middle-class wages and jobs is because we're seeing more folks who are in the labor market globally that can substitute for folks who do not have higher tech skills.
So, Kevin Quinn, you are saying that Wisconsin has experienced, I think you called it a beige recovery. There has been an economic recovery since the Great Recession, but it's so-so. But you are not blaming Governor Walker's policies nor giving Governor Walker's policies credit. Is that accurate?
Well, I think that the big story here is that the composition of the Wisconsin economy, the nature of Wisconsin's experience coming into the recession before, Walker was even in the mix, and then the experience of the U.S. and global recovery, I think those swamp, at least for the period of time we've been talking about, those swamp the impacts of these policies. Now, it doesn't mean to say that these policies have zero effect. I think they do at the margin, and I also think that we're beginning at now to see perhaps more of the impacts of those, because it takes a while to turn around a tanker, and the Wisconsin economy is sort of a big animal. But I really think that the bigger picture is our forces beyond political control. Now, as we move forward and we start to see very large policy changes with respect to higher ed, with respect to unions, with respect to health care and social spending, with respect to infrastructure construction, et cetera, then you'll start to see more enduring effects. But what we've seen right now and the experience that we've had since 2009 and 2011, I think is primarily the tide, not the wind and the waves.
Let's go next to Dave in Mount Horeb. Hi, Dave.
It's tax season, and everybody who fills out a tax return always wants to know about deductions. Your guest has said that, oh, we tax too much. Well, we don't tax enough, and the reason we don't tax enough is because employers, the people that fill out the Schedule Cs, which I know is a tax return, get to deduct employee benefits and wages 100%. So when the professor and the others of his ilk claim that taxes are punishing the economy and the money all goes to Washington, no, if you hire someone, if you pay them more, if you pay them good benefits, those benefits are 100% deductible. And by and large, if you pay a Wisconsin employee money, the money stays here and gets spent here. And what is being proposed is we cut the taxes and then the fabulously wealthy spend their money someplace else. And the global market is a huge market. It's increasing so that we can sell more of our stuff to people across the world. I heard recently that China has something like 200 million people in the middle class. Are we selling those things, stuff to people in China? No, I don't see Walker there. I see him in South Carolina and Iowa, and he's telling us how he's done a poor job in creating jobs in Wisconsin because he keeps cutting taxes. And if you tax the folks that have the money, then the money gets spent here.
Yeah. All right. Kevin Quinn?
Yeah, I think the caller gets to sort of the nub of the fiscal policy debate that we've had here. I do want to point out, though, that, you know, Wisconsin, compared to other Midwestern states, does spend more. The state spends more per capita than the other states. So it's about $7,800 per capita is spent here in Wisconsin. Illinois, it's about $5,400. In Iowa, about $6,500. Michigan is about $5,000 and about $6,500 in Minnesota. So if the point is that you know, the state here occupies a much smaller role in the economy than perhaps it does in the other Midwestern states, I don't think that's an accurate statement. Now, the composition of where the money comes from and where it goes is a matter of policy. And, you know, basically, who's picking up a bigger chunk of the tab? I know in Illinois they have a flat tax, flat income tax. So it's likely, I don't know for sure, but it's likely that you find folks at the higher end actually paying a lower percentage of taxes than you do here. But I think that's the question of policy. There was a lot in his statement that I, you know, would be hard to get at, but I think that maybe is the nub of the point I'd like to make.
Yeah. Well, we have 2 minutes before a news break, and I have a few other specific questions I have for you in terms of you know, the right to work and some other economic issues facing Wisconsin. But let me have you just sort of summarize right now, based on what we know, how is Wisconsin's economy doing?
I would say Wisconsin's economy right now continues a very meh recovery. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, we're not declining. You know, employment's up, wages are up, things are getting better, but things are getting better faster generally in the rest of the country than they are here.
We are talking with Kevin Quinn, an economics professor and dean of the Schneider School of Business and Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We are talking about Wisconsin's economy and how is it doing in terms of job creation and unemployment and wages and other economic indicators. And we are welcoming your questions and your perspective at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our conversation is based on this set of economic numbers released from the Bureau of Labor Statistics yesterday, finding that Wisconsin's job creation, private sector job creation, between September of 2013 and September of 2014 was 40th in the nation, placing Wisconsin 40th in the nation. So we'll talk more after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking for the rest of this hour on how Wisconsin's economy is doing with Kevin Quinn, an economics professor and dean of the Schneider School of Business and Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We heard in state news that a judge in Wisconsin has ruled or has decided not to block the implementation of Wisconsin's new right-to-work law. Much debate over this right-to-work law in recent weeks. Kevin Quinn, what effect might this right-to-work law have on the state's economy?
Well, I think the most immediate effect that it's going to have is to help accelerate the deunionization of the workforce here. Now, we have to kind of be honest with ourselves. That's something that's been happening for quite a long time, that the percentage of union workers here has declined dramatically over the last, hard to say how many years. I mean, it's been a very long-run decline. This is definitely going to help accelerate that. Now, that said, there are all kinds of arguments one way or the other. The argument that the folks who are in favor of this legislation would make, apart from sort of a libertarian argument that if I am in a workforce, I should decide whether I want to join a union or not and not be compelled to, the economic argument is that this reduces the amount of bargaining power that workers have. This will, which will lower wages, which will help spur the economy, and maybe make the workforce a little more flexible. There won't be as many union rules, et cetera. And their argument is that this will spur job creation because it'll spur the economy. Those on the other side would make the argument that, well, this is going to reduce wages and reduce spending power. We're going to move more of the benefits of the economy up the income ladder, which has a negative impact because the folks who tend to make a lot of money don't spend as much of it, and so we'll see more of a hollowing out of the middle class. I want to point out that an economics professor, Professor Chowdhury at Marquette, did a report a little while ago that basically took the position that right to work would actually damage the workforce here. It would lead to a drain, because of the lowering of wages, it would lead to a drain of folks who are semi-skilled and skilled, particularly in the manufacturing field. So I would point your listeners to that. I think probably my own opinion is that it's probably more than anything else just recognition of the decline of private sector unions, and in fact public sector unions as well, in this country.
Jenna asks, does Wisconsin's slow economic recovery have anything to do with the amount of manufacturing we do as a state or once did? Are people willing to work for wages lower than what they ideally would like to start in those types of positions?
I do think so, and the last time I was on your show back in the fall, colleague Paul Rauscher, who runs a manufacturing firm and is very active up here in northeastern Wisconsin manufacturing, took me to task for a version of what it is I'm going to say. So I suspect he's listening. So I will try to be a little bit more careful in how I answer that question. The main thing is this, that the big-time giant plant, auto manufacturing, paper manufacturing, that kind of thing, that is changing. And manufacturing jobs are not bad jobs. They're not in dirty factories anymore. They're in, clean facilities, et cetera. And manufacturing employment is slightly up compared to a few years ago. That's all true, okay? Even manufacturing wages are up slightly in the state compared to a few years ago. But the bigger story is this, that manufacturing employment nationally is growing far more slowly than other kinds of employment, professional services, health and education. In other words, things that require advanced degrees are growing very quickly, whereas things that require high school diplomas are not growing as quickly. So I guess that's the way I would approach that question.
Let's go to Karen in Green Bay. Hello, Karen.
Hello. I just have, these are anecdotal, whatever.
Go ahead.
Examples. But my son is graduating from mechanical engineering in May, and he has been interviewing. The majority of his interviews have been out of state, not by his choice, but just because that's what's available. And he just took a job offer the other day, and he's going to be moving to another state. And while he's in this position, they're going to be moving him to another state every 6 months. And none of the states are Wisconsin. And also I have a friend who's son and daughter-in-law are moving back to Wisconsin. He's working for a job out of Maryland, a company out of Maryland, and his wife is a teacher, but she will not teach in Wisconsin because of what has happened with the Walker administration. So that's my, those are my comments.
All right, thanks very much. We are running short on time. Kevin Quinn, can you the situation with her son getting job offers in other states but not in Wisconsin, and he's in mechanical engineering, does that seem like a commonplace happening?
Well, I believe that there are jobs here in mechanical engineering in Wisconsin. So, I mean, as a colleague of mine at St. Norbert likes to say, the plural of anecdote is not data, but I think the broader point is that you are seeing jobs being added faster on average elsewhere in the country than you are in Wisconsin, although you actually are seeing jobs being added a little bit more quickly in the Midwest than you see elsewhere in the country. But Wisconsin definitely is not the leader in terms of job creation. There's no argument that you can make that would sustain that, I think.
I'm going to move to another caller as we need to wrap up. Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe.
Hello. I've got a two-part question. Number one, of all Governor Walker's policies, what's the number one thing that you think he's doing in a positive way to promote job growth? And number two, what's the number one thing that he's not doing that he should be doing to promote job growth?
There you go, Kevin Quinn.
Well, it's always a dangerous thing when you ask an economist to tie himself down, but I'll do that anyway. I think the number one thing that he is trying to do is that he is trying to do what he thinks is the best way to make the economy grow here in Wisconsin. Their perspective about regulation, their perspective about taxes, et cetera. Believe me, you know, I work quite a bit with the business community here in northeastern Wisconsin, and that resonates. I mean, to hear business owners, small and big, talk, it's a struggle out there. And the other thing I think that is being helpful is, I think, creating more training, job-related training for people who don't have skills. So I think that he's trying to do that. Now, where I disagree and where I think he's being very short-sighted is the emphasis on road construction above all else, being so hard-edged about the folks who are losing out in the budget, particularly, you know, the university system and some of the other social safety net. I think that's a little bit short-sighted, and I wish these debates would be had in a more positive environment instead of utterly demonizing the other side. I think in the end that's problematic, but I think it's also fair to say that Governor Walker's primary objective is probably not the state of Wisconsin right now. It's pretty obvious he's running for president, and his policies now, or at least what he says, seem to be much more an artifact of what is likely to get him the Republican nomination than really what's in the long-run best interest of the Wisconsin economy.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more in our Week in Review. Kevin Quinn, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kevin Quinn, economics professor and dean of the Schneider School of Business and Economics at St. Norbert College in De Pere. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.